This Mishnah is going to show that although one is obligated to give his firstborn animal to a kohen as a gift, and he's not able to benefit from the animal himself at all, nevertheless, he is not able to give the animal to the kohen as soon as the animal is born. There is great effort which is involved in taking care of the animal and raising it, especially when it is a very young animal. And since the bechor is supposed to be a honorable gift which is given to the kohen, one may not give it to him until it has grown up, and that the kohen will not be forced to take care of the animal and raise it himself. And the Mishnah asks, "Ad kama yisol chayav letapel b'bechor?" To what extent and for how long is the Jewish owner obligated to take care of the firstborn animal before giving it to a kohen? B'hemodaka, when it comes to a smaller animal like a sheep or a goat, ad shleishim yoim, up until 30 days, the first 30 days of the animal's life, the animal needs to be taken care of by the Jewish owner. Uvagasa, and when it comes to a larger animal, chamishim yoim, he must take care of it for 50 days. The Gemara learns this out of Pesukim, which seem to compare three different obligations. The Torah says, "Mele osra v'dimach alisa acher," you should not delay bringing the bikurim. The word "mele osra" refers to the bikurim, which is the first fruit which ripen in one's field, and he's obligated to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. And the fruit generally ripen around Pesach time, and the most ideal time to bring the bikurim is around Shavuos time, which is 50 days after Pesach. Now the pasuk continues by saying, "B'chor bonecho titen li," you shall give me, designate for me, your firstborn sons. That refers to the mitzvah of pidyon haben, to redeem a firstborn human being. And the third part of the pasuk says, "Kein ta'aseh l'shorcha l'tzeinecha," so shall you do to your firstborn ox or sheep. And the way that the Gemara understands the pasuk is that there is a comparison between the first part of the pasuk, talking about bikurim, not delaying the bringing of the bikurim beyond 50 days, beyond Shavuos, which comes 50 days after Pesach. We compare that to the obligation to give one's firstborn ox. That also needs to be given to the kohen only after 50 days. And then we compare the second part of the pasuk regarding pidyon haben, redeeming one's firstborn human being son, to the other part of the third part of the pasuk, which refers to giving a firstborn sheep to the kohen, that just like a human son is redeemed after 30 days, so too the firstborn sheep, or small animals like a sheep, should be given to the kohen after 30 days. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama, the first opinion in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi says, "Bedaka, when it comes to a smaller animal, it actually needs to be taken care of for a longer period of time, Shlosha Chodoshim, 3 months. Since a smaller animal is much more dependent upon its mother, the Jewish owner should keep it with its mother and only give it to the kohen after 3 months. Now what happens if Omar Loya Kohen Besoches Manzeh, the kohen comes to the Jewish owner within this period of time, and he tells him, "Tneuli, give me the firstborn son now, and you won't need to take care of it at all." Harizin lo yinoloi, he is not allowed to give the firstborn animal to the kohen already now, because it will appear to be as if the Jewish owner is giving the firstborn son to this particular kohen. Out of all kohanim, he's able to choose which kohen to give it to, and it appears like he's giving it to this particular kohen in return for the kohen taking care of the animal. Essentially, it's the Jew's obligation to take care of the animal for this period of time. And if the kohen takes it now already, then we look at it and it really appears to be like he is receiving wages. The kohen is receiving this firstborn animal as a wage for taking care of the animal instead of the Jewish owner. And it's forbidden to use a firstborn or any tithe like that as wages. It needs to be a gift. Now that having been said, if the animal had already developed a wound, and therefore there's not actually necessarily a need to take care of the animal at all. One only needs to take care of the animal if it does not have a wound, and let's say we're speaking at a time where the Beis HaMikdash doesn't exist, and it cannot be brought as a korban, a sacrifice, so we have no choice but to raise the animal until it develops a wound. But if it already has a wound now, and the kohen says to him, Omar Lo, he tells the Jewish owner, "Ten li sheichlenu," give me the animal so that I can eat it now already, then mutter, he's allowed to give it to the Koyain because it doesn't require taking care of. So there's no appearance of giving it to the Koyain in return for the Koyain taking care of it. And likewise, with Shas HaMikdosh, when the Beis HaMikdosh did stand, Imahil Tomim, if the animal did not have a wound, and therefore it was fit to be brought as a korban, Omar Loi, and the Koyain says to this Jewish owner, Tendish Akrivenu, give me the animal now so that I can bring it as a korban, and once again, in this case, it would not need to be kept for any longer time to raise the animal. It can be brought as a korban already from now, and therefore mutar, it is permitted to give the animal to the Koyain for him to bring it as a korban now. Continues the Mishnah, HaBachor Nechol Shona Shona, a firstborn animal can be eaten literally year by year, meaning one has a time limit of 1 year to eat the firstborn animal. Bein Tomim, whether it does not have a wound and it needs to be brought as a korban and then eaten, Bein Baal Mum, or whether it has developed a wound and it would just require slaughtering and eating like a regular non-korban animal. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, in front of Hashem your God, Teichalenu, you shall eat it, Shona b'Shona, year by year. And the Torah continues to say that the same applies to an animal which is not eaten in front of Hashem. That implies we're talking about a korban which is eaten in the Beis HaMikdosh, or at least it's offered up in the Beis HaMikdosh. However, the Torah continues to say that the same applies to an animal which has a wound and is not necessarily brought to the Beis HaMikdosh. Nevertheless, this time limit of 1 year still applies. Mishnah Beis, from when does the 1 year limit for bringing the firstborn as a korban or for eating the firstborn begin? So in general, there's a slight difference between an animal which is brought as a korban or one which is going to be eaten because it has a wound, meaning it's going to be slaughtered in a regular way and not be brought as a korban. And that is that a korban is only valid from the 8th day of the animal's life. Before that, it cannot be brought as a korban, and because of that, the 1 year would begin from the 8th day of the animal's life. On the other hand, if the animal has developed a wound, so it's only going to be eaten, then the 1 year begins from the moment that it was born. At least in a regular case, it could be it's different if the animal was born prematurely, but we're going to understand simply that it begins from the moment that the animal is born. But that does not mean that the wound had to have existed already from the time of the birth of the animal. Even if Nunad Loi Mum Sir Shnosai, if the wound developed within the year at some point, Mutar L'Kayim Kol Shnei Masar Chodesh, it is permitted to keep that animal without slaughtering it for the entire 12 months, but only since the animal was born. Your 12 months doesn't begin from the time that the wound is developed, but rather from the time that it is born. Even though we didn't know already at that time that it wasn't going to be brought as a korban, maybe it wouldn't have developed the wound. Nevertheless, the 12 months begins from the time that it was born. Now what happens if the wound was only developed la'achar shnosai, after the year already ended? And if you ask, why is it that the animal still exists beyond the year? Surely it should have been brought as a korban. You also only have 1 year to bring the animal as a korban. So we're going to understand that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Beis HaMikdosh is not around, and therefore it cannot be brought as a korban. So the Kohen had no choice but to raise the animal and wait for it to develop a wound. He can't give it a wound directly because the animal has sanctity. Technically, it's considered to be a korban. Even if there's no way of bringing it, it's considered to be a korban, and one cannot invalidate a korban directly by giving it a wound. So he has to wait for it to develop a wound, and this wound was only developed after the year ended. So it's not fair to now say that the Kohen can't benefit from it at all. There was nothing he could do, and therefore the Mishnah says, in Rashi Lekayim Elad Shleishim Yoim, he is able to keep the animal and to still slaughter it and eat it, but he only has 30 days. This is a sort of 30-day addition which we give him midrabbanon in order not to cause such a loss to the Koyain. Mishnah Gimel, if a firstborn animal that a Koyain received develops a wound, it is forbidden for the Koyain to slaughter the animal for himself and have it as a non-korban until he shows the wound to a expert who will be able to confirm that it is indeed a permanent wound which invalidates it from being a korban. And only once it has been confirmed is the Koyain allowed to slaughter it for himself instead of bringing it as a korban. What happens if Hashechitz HaBachor, a Koyain, slaughters his firstborn animal which he received because he saw that it had a wound, but he slaughtered it before showing it to an expert? And only after he slaughtered it, Umayas Mumai, he then shows the animal, which is now dead, it's been slaughtered, to an expert to inspect the wound, and the expert indeed confirms that he can tell that the wound was there before death, and that it was indeed a permanent wound which would have invalidated it as a korban. And the Gemara explains that we're talking about most types of wounds, but not a type of wound which is in the eye of the animal. Wounds in the eye of the animal cannot be inspected properly after the animal dies to tell whether it was in that same state before the animal's death, because upon the animal's death, the state of the eyes can change very significantly, and therefore even if it appears to be a very permanent wound after the death of the animal, there is no proof that indeed that was the case before the animal was slaughtered. And therefore in that case, everybody agrees that it will be forbidden to eat that animal and benefit from it, because we need to be concerned that it actually did not have a permanent wound when it was slaughtered. The Mishnah is talking about all other types of wounds where an expert is able to tell that there was this permanent wound before it died, which would have invalidated it from being bought as a korban. And in such a case, Rabbi Huda says that it is permitted to benefit from that animal, based on the expert's confirmation that this indeed was a permanent wound, which invalidated it from being bought as a korban even before it was slaughtered. However, Rabbi Meir says, Hoil v'hu nishchat shelo al pi mumche, since it was slaughtered without the confirmation of an expert before it was slaughtered, also it is forbidden. And there are two different reasons given to explain Rabbi Meir's reason. One is that we view it as a sort of punishment, midrabanon, for not showing it to an expert before slaughtering it. But the main reason, really, which is given to explain Rabbi Meir's reasoning, is that we don't want to differentiate between this and a case of a wound in the eye. If we permit this, then people might come to permit even a case where there was a wound in the eye. And in that case, we really can't be sure that this state of the eye existed even before the animal was slaughtered. And so in order to avoid cases like that, that we might end up permitting it, we also forbid any case where the wound was not confirmed before the slaughtering took place. Mishnah Daled, what exactly defines a expert, somebody who's able to inspect the wound of a firstborn animal in order to confirm that it is no longer a korban and that the kohen can slaughter it for himself? It's not sufficient that he knows the science and that he knows how to recognize a wound which is permanent or not. Rather, he needs to also receive he needs to be appointed by the Beis Din, or by the Nossi, the leader of the generation, to indeed be considered fitting to confirm firstborn's wounds. And the Mishnah says, Misha Eino Mumuche, somebody who has not got this appointment of being considered an expert, V'ra Sabachar, and he nevertheless went ahead and inspected a firstborn, and he told the owner that it is okay to slaughter it, because he confirms that it is indeed a permanent wound, V'nishchat al piv, and the animal was slaughtered based on his decision and his ruling. Harizei Yikover, the animal needs to be buried, since we cannot rely on his confirmation. And perhaps this is actually still an animal which is supposed to be a korban, and was slaughtered in that state. And because of that, the Mishnah says, Harizei Yikover, it needs to be buried, just like any korban which has died. And the reason why we're not able to show it to a new, real expert now, even once it has died, is either because this Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Meir of the previous opinion, that an expert after the animal has died will not help, or it goes even according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we're talking about a case where there is a wound in the eye, that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, a expert after the death will not help. And now the Mishnah adds another point, which will cause the Mishnah to go slightly sidetracked, and that is, v'yishalim mebeisoy, this non-expert is obligated to compensate from his own money and pay for the firstborn animal. He needs to pay the kohen for the loss that he caused him. And the Gemara goes into great length to discuss how much he actually needs to pay him, depending on what type of animal and how much the owner would have had to take care of the animal. He either needs to pay the kohen half of its value or a quarter of the value. It also needs to be taken into account that it could be that the decision and the confirmation of this non-expert was actually correct, in which case it's not considered to be that he caused him a loss necessarily, or at least the loss is considered to be more indirect. And because of that, he's not obligated to pay the entire value of the animal, but only half or a quarter, depending on the various conditions which the Gemara lists. On a similar note, Donis Adin, if somebody who is not an expert, He's not a judge who has been appointed by the Beis Din to give his decisions in judgment a certain weight and significance. He's not considered somebody like that. And Donas HaDin, he judged a case which came before him, and Zikr Sachayev, he gave a monetary right to somebody who's actually obligated to pay money, for example. Or Chivas HaZakai, he ruled that the one who's actually does have a monetary right does not have the monetary right. For example, let's say if a borrower and a lender came in front of him with an argument, and he ruled wrongly such that the person who should really have the rights to a certain amount of money, he ruled that he doesn't have the rights, and vice versa. And he calls this monetary loss based on his ruling. Or Timis HaTohar, he ruled that something which is pure is impure, Vitiris HaTomei. Or he ruled that something which is actually impure, he ruled to be pure. And as a result of what he did, he caused a monetary loss. For example, if he ruled that Truma, which is the gift given to Kohanim, if he ruled that it is impure, the rule is that it is forbidden to eat impure Truma. And as a result of the Kohen thinking that his Truma was Tomei, he mixed it with other impure substances. And later on he found out that actually the Truma had been pure. But because of the mistaken ruling, he now himself made the Truma come into contact with other impure items. And therefore the Truma actually did become Tomei, and therefore can no longer be eaten, and so it loses most of its value. And likewise, in a case where the Kohen ruled that it is pure, and in reality it's impure, the Kohen, as a result of this, might have mixed it with other pure Truma. But when he finds out that actually the Truma had been Tomei, then it emerges that he now made the rest of his Truma impure, by making it come into contact with Truma which was actually impure. Be as it may, the point is, if by a mistaken ruling given by this non-expert, if he causes a monetary loss to somebody as a result of it, Masha Osoi, that which he has done is done, Vishalim Beisoi, but he is obligated to compensate the person who lost out, and he needs to pay from his own money. The Gemara actually differentiates between the type of mistake which he made. If the mistake which he made was something which is explicitly stated in a Mishnah somewhere, or it's a obvious mistake which is contradicted from the clear ruling which exists, then we don't even view that which he said as being a judgment given. It's not a verdict at all. And because of that, interestingly, he would be exempt in such a case. Only if his verdict is considered to be a halachically significant verdict would we view him as being the cause for the loss. Because as may, the Mishnah is talking about a case where his mistake is not contradicted by anything too obviously and explicitly stated anywhere. And in such a case, it is considered to be a halachically significant verdict, and therefore the loss which he causes by this would obligate him to compensate the one who lost out. However, all of this is regarding somebody who is not an expert, but if he was an expert appointed by the Beis Din to give these verdicts, Potter Mila Shalem, he is exempted from paying and compensating the one who lost out, because this is the power which is given to him by the Beis Din to make these verdicts and rule on matters. There was a story which once happened with a cow whose womb was removed, and the question arose as to whether this animal was considered to be a trefer. A trefer is an animal which has an internal wound which threatens the life of the animal, and even if such an animal is slaughtered, it is forbidden to eat it. The question is, was this animal considered to be a trefer or not? The Hechila Rabbi Tarfon Laklovim, and Rabbi Tarfon ruled that it needs to be fed to the dogs, meaning he said that it is considered to be a trefer. And after that, and this story came in front of the Chachomim, and they permitted it, meaning they ruled against Rabbi Tarfon that is actually not considered to be a trefer. And indeed, Omar Todos HaRofe, Todos the doctor or physician, he said, in Porva Chazir Yotzim Alexandria, no cow or pig leaves Alexandria to be exported elsewhere and to be sold, until they cut out the womb of the animal so that it will not give birth. Their cows and pigs were very good quality, and they didn't want other people from other countries to be able to reproduce them. And so their custom was to cut the and remove the womb from these animals. And they did this to all of the animals, and yet they survived. So we see that certainly it's not considered to be a trefer, which would be forbidden to eat. And Omar Rabbi Tarfon said when he heard this, that I realized that I must have made a mistake. And if I made a mistake, then I'm obligated to pay the person who I caused a loss to. Holcho chamurcho tarfein. Tarfein, your donkey has gone away. You now owe him an animal, he said to himself. Omar Rabbi Akiva, however, Rabbi Akiva said to him, Rabbi Tarfein potterata, you're exempt from paying. Shatam mumchele beistin, because you are considered to be an expert appointed by the beistin to be able to make these decisions. Anybody who is an expert appointed by the Beis Din to make these decisions on certain matters, he is exempt from paying and compensating for the loss which was caused by his mistaken ruling, as the Mishnah ruled earlier on in this Mishnah, like we saw.